Welcome to It Is Written Canada. Thank you for joining us. Burkhard Heimann became convinced that God would get in the way of his happiness, and so he chased happiness in parties, alcohol, and drugs, while his wife and kids were left in the shadows. But one day, alone at home in his log cabin in the bush, he finally saw who he really was, and he asked God for help. What happened next changed everything.
My name is Burkhard Heimann, and I live in British Columbia. Today, I want to share the story with you of how God got into my life. But to do that, I actually have to start a little bit further back. I was raised in a very religious home, a really good Christian home. And I couldn't ask for anything better as far as a father and mother were concerned. And when I was a little guy, I loved the Lord. You know, you hear these little stories and I knew the Bible stories and all that stuff. So, but as I got older and I went off to school and pretty soon I was in private school, I had some friends and they started making me think that maybe religion and God would interfere with my life somehow. I don't know. Like, maybe I wouldn't be able to be happy for the way I was. And I also noticed, you know, when I was young, I had quite a bit of energy. And so then I look around at religious people, you know, and it always seemed, well, maybe they're running on a little lower voltage. I don't know why I had that as a kid. So I thought, well, really to be, you know, the way I am, I've got to do whatever to be happy. Eh? So as I got older, I drifted away from it. Eh? And I got out of university, and then I decided, my father had gotten sick, so I came home to deal with the family business, and we were builders, eh? Masonaries, builders. And as I was working there, I got a job building a nightclub. And as I finished the nightclub, the owner said to me, "We're kind of short of money," which is something you don't want to hear when you're in business. You know, you just hate that. And so I said, "Well, how are you going to pay? You know, I mean, I need to get paid for this job." And he said, "Well, why don't you just run a tab and use it up, you know, limit it up." And I was already trying to live it up a little bit to be happy. Eh? So I thought to myself, wow, that's not a bad idea. Because you're looking for excuses to be happy, to do what you want in life when you're looking for happiness. So, and I had decided, I'll tell you, I decided whatever it takes, I'm going to find it. Eh? And so I said, okay, let's do that. And so that started a session of my life where I would go to the clubs regularly, like most every night. And a lot, you know, you have a lot of friends when you do that. Wow, it's crazy. And of course, I'm married now, and I have a couple of kids at home. But I'm gone a lot. Eh? I'm gone. I shut down the clubs and stuff. And so I would get home, and then my wife would be kind of bothering me because she's feeling lonely at home, and I wasn't showing up much. So, but I never really thought much about it. I just thought, well, I got to be happy. You know, your life revolves around you when you're trying to be happy, when you're trying to find happiness that way. So it's funny, guys want to join you. And so this guy came, said to me, "Look, can I come with you guys tonight and, you know, sit at your table?" And I said, "Oh, sure." And so he wanted to show that he was a nice guy and that he had something to offer. And somebody walked by and said something to our table or to me or something. And so this guy got up and was beating him up, you know, knocked him down and was kicking him in the mouth. And I was laughing because I'm stoned and I'm drunk and what have you. And so I'm laughing and a waitress comes up to me and says, "What kind of a human being are you, you know, that you can laugh when somebody's being hurt like that?" And I remember exactly what I thought. I thought, "You're not getting that tip." You know, I used to put pretty good-sized tips on it because it seemed like no money anyway at the time. And so I thought, "You're not getting that tip because you just do not want to hear anything that interferes with your happiness, as it were, right?" So And my dad used to bother me half to death at that time, too, because when I'd go home to his place, he'd say, boy, you're wrecking your life. You know, you're starting to do, you're drinking and you're doing drugs and you're going to ruin your life totally. And I used to think about it and I felt sorry for him, I remember, because I thought, you know, when you get up in the morning, that's as good as you ever feel. So, but anyway, this night when I'm driving back and this waitress had said this to me, and then, you know, my dad's saying stuff to me all the time, even though I just blow it off, it bothers you. And so I'm thinking, who's laughing? I don't remember being cruel. I don't remember, you know, wanting to hurt people or anything. And I thought I was a good person, you know, because I tried to be dead honest, you know, in my business you know, pay my guys good. And, you know, and I thought I was a good person. So when she said that, that sort of cut into my life a bit. And I noticed I was less and less happy. It was weird, eh? So you had to go further. You had to do more. You had to involve yourself more in the things that you thought might bring you happiness. But anyway, I end up driving home that night, and then my wife said, I'm going to see my mother. Now, I didn't know, but she told me later she was thinking about leaving me but that never even crossed my radar, I'll tell you that, because I was just trying to be happy. So she said, I'm going to see my mother. And I said, oh, yeah, good, go. And, you know, so she goes. And I'm thinking about this. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I should try a day like normal people live, like my dad lives or somebody. Like, I won't do any drinking. I won't do any drugs. And I'll just be there straight. Eh? I'm thinking in my head as this day's going by, if I had to live like this, I'd hang myself. This is so boring. Like, it's so flat. It's so nothing. You know, like, I mean, I said to my friend, I got something to think about. I better go home. And so I drove off home. Come in the door. And as I come in the door, on the coffee table, I see just a paperback, something like this, eh? And I would have never touched it. I kind of realized it looked like it might be a religious book, you know. It was called The Desire of Ages. Anyway, it was just a paperback. And I looking at the front and I look at the back. And on the back, there's this list. And it's this list about what God is like. And it has these words under it, like humble and patient and kind and loving. And I'm looking at these descriptive words, eh? But they're just gobbledygook to me. They don't mean anything. They're just words, eh? Just, whatever. What does that mean? Nothing to me. But then there was this list what the devil was like. And so my eyes shifted to this list on that same page, but over a bit. And there's this list of words underneath there that says what the devil is like. And it was stuff like arrogant, proud, self-centered. You know, and then there was this list. And as I read the list, it's like my eyes are opened and I see I'm exactly like that. That's me. It's all about me. Everything is just about me. Well, I'll tell you, it was quite a revelation because I'd seen it in other people, but I had never seen it in myself. And so I'm looking at this list and I'm thinking, man, you have to smarten up. Because I could see that was me to a T, eh? And I thought, you got to smarten up. But then the same sentence in my mind, I realized I couldn't smarten up. And because you know that you have tried and can't change, it makes you kind of hopeless. You could ask God to help you, but you have no way of knowing. When something comes like that into your mind, it depends where you are, eh? And so this thought comes in, you could ask God to help you, but it seemed to me like such a sissy thought. Like, it was so foreign to me because you do it yourself. It's you, you know, it's about you. And this idea you could ask God to help you sort of went into all that stuff where I thought, yeah, that's just for people who can't help themselves, eh? Who would know if I prayed? See, I would never tell anybody. You know, that's the last thing I would do. So I can get away with doing this, eh? My pride could allow me to do it. I kneeled down by my bed and I prayed. And I can remember my prayer. You know, the first thing I said to God is, I don't love you. Because that thought had been in my head, you know, and I thought, yeah, I knew you couldn't love anybody you didn't know anyway, because that'd be all hogwash. So I said to him, I don't love you. See, I hit the point where I wasn't going to lie to myself or anybody else at that point, eh? So I said, I don't love you or anything. But, you know, I see who I am, and I need help. So if you can help me, please help me. And as I finished saying that, all of a sudden, I had an attack like you would not believe. I threw myself on the bed. I was in convulsions. Eh? Like, I couldn't get any air. I was just like, I was dying. And I didn't know what it was. And I never thought that I would be scared to die. And of course, that's just in your head, because when you come to the point, so here I am home alone and I'm dying. And I'm having this physical thing, eh? And I'm dying alone and I'm scared. I was really, all of a sudden I'm scared. And I, oh, what is this? What have I got? And so then I thought to myself, well, it must be a heart attack because the pain was so vicious, eh? And they said, well, you get a lot of pain and, you know, you. So I'm thinking, okay, I must be in the middle of a heart attack. And so I thought, I need help. But I'm just rolling around the bed trying to get enough air to stay alive. And so I, there's this phone on my bed there, and it's one of the dial phones. This is many years ago. This is must be like 50 years ago. It was a dial phone. And so I somehow got a hold of it, you know, and I got a zero in because you could dial the operator in those days. It wasn't no touch tone or anything. It was just, you dialed, and all of a sudden, and I'm holding the phone as I'm just, you know, to my ear, trying to listen, plus trying to stay alive. And so I end up, all of a sudden I hear the operator, operator, can I help you? And I couldn't talk because I'm having this medical emergency, eh? So I'm trying to get something out. And at last I got the word hospital out, eh? And so the next thing I hear is, good evening, Vernon Jubilee Hospital. Can we help you, sir? And I'm trying to say something. And I'm making noise, but... And she said, what is it? What is it, sir? And I guess she could tell I was a male then. And I said, I got the word heart attack out at last, you know, so that she could understand it. And as soon as I said heart attack, her whole voice changed. And she said, give me your address, sir. And as soon as she said that, I remembered I prayed. Like before that, it's totally out of my mind. I forgot. That wasn't even in my mind, eh? Because I had... Just, I'm dying, and so that's taking up all my thoughts, eh? So all of a sudden, I realized, wow, there is a God. And he's heard you. And I thought, wow. Well, it's funny, eh? First of all, just the shock, there is a God. Because you've kind of put it on the back burner, even though I was raised with it. I just, you wash it off somehow. And then this idea, but I knew, you know, he knows who I am, and he knows I could never be a Christian because the kind of person I am. And so I thought, well, he's just letting me die. He's heard me, and he's letting me die. So I better not fool around with this thing, you know, because if there's a God and this is what he's doing, then I hung up. And I thought, okay, you know, even though I had grown up believing, I had got to the point where I didn't believe anymore. And so then I'm still dying, you know, that's it. So I struggle around there. I passed out or something. That's the last thing I remember.
In that lonely moment, Burkhart prayed one of the most honest prayers a person can pray. I don't love you. I don't know you, but I see who I am and I need help. If you can help me, please help me.
And I wake up next morning, and it's a morning like this, eh? Like beautiful. The sun's shining, and I'm thinking, wow, you're alive. Unbelievable. You know, you're not dead. And so, it's, you know, the human being, I mean, I am a very fickle person. Eh? So I'm thinking, wow, that was weird last night. But that was last night, eh? You're in a sinking ship. Now you're on dry ground. Everything's beautiful, sunshine. You're alive. You'll feel nothing. I don't feel sick or nothing, no ill effects. And I thought, well, I wonder if that maybe was because I didn't do any drugs or I didn't do any alcohol yesterday. And I thought, I'm never going to do that again. I thought I better never fool around with that again. So anyway, I might as well get, and I just washed it off. The whole thing that had happened, I just put it away in the back of my mind like nothing had happened. And so I thought, I better get the day going, and I roll a joint. So I go to roll this joint, and as I roll this joint, all of a sudden it feels weird in my hand, like I'd never, ever rolled a joint. And I thought, what is the matter, you know? And then I put the thing in my mouth. It was like I've never smoked anything. I mean, I smoked cigarettes and everything. It was like I had never smoked. It felt funny. And it actually gave me what we call the Ouija Jeebies in those days. It made the hair stand on my neck. I thought, I remember saying, he's done something to me. He's done something to me. And then I stopped and I thought about what had happened the night before and that I'd actually prayed for help. And then I realized he'd done something. This was quite a shock to me, that he had actually done something to me. I'd asked for help, and he'd actually done something. And when that realization kind of came, then he came into my life. Now, when I say that, it's very hard for me to explain that. But there's a being that came into my life there that it's real. You know he's there, and you know he loves you. It's really weird. Like, I don't know. I can't tell you how it happens or what it is, but it was there. He was there. And so I realized, wow, you know, you meet your maker, but he loves you. He actually loves you. And so I'm thinking, man, I got to find out about who you are. You know, so I went and quickly found, you know, I looked around the house and found a Bible. And so I opened this Bible and because now there's this being and he's come into my life and it's what I've been looking for. There's something about him, there's something with him that is what I've been searching for in all those goose chases, eh? So I thought, I got to find out who you are. So I grabbed the Bible. Now, you have to realize when I went to school, I read the Bible lots of times. And in fact, when I took philosophy of religion, we were, you know, talking about the Bible and talking about other religions. But this was different. I opened this book up, and this book is like a letter from your girlfriend. Like, it's just unbelievable. I can't put the thing down. I'm reading it, and it's just all about God. And as I'm reading it, I mean, I just want to read. And then I'm thinking, man, I want to go to church. I want to be around God. I want to learn about God. So this went on for about a month. God is right there with me, and he answers my prayers, and people I talk to, they're listening, and anyway, I'm reading in the Bible, it says Christian life's a struggle, and I'm thinking, Paul, what do you mean? This is like falling off a log, you know, I was just happy, free, totally. Anyway, I go along, about a month later, all of a sudden one morning I wake up and he's gone. He leaves. And I got down on my knees, I said, Lord, you know me, you know I can't run my life in any respect, eh? So I said, please come back. And if I did something, tell me what it is. I'm ready to drop it. I don't care about anything. I want you in my life. And nothing. It's like I'm praying to the ceiling all of a sudden. Before I pray right into heaven. Eh? The answers will come. Now I'm praying to the ceiling and nothing. So I said, I'm staying on my knees, but, you know, the time comes, you get up, nothing. I have to get my guys working. All of a sudden, I realize as I'm out there, my old nature is back. Like a lion, hungry. And so let's go. Oh, and I thought it was gone. You know what I mean? But now there's something new. It says, you don't have to do this. I love you. I realized all of a sudden I have a choice. I have a choice I can make. I can have God come into my life or I got me. That's it. And so I realized I can choose. And that's where my Christian life started, eh? Where I actually could ask God into my life. He can give you love, peace, joy, all that. That's his stuff. So I realized, wow. You know, I don't know how many of you know the story of Meshephetheth or whatever. It's kind of a weird name. A crippled guy who sat at David's table. Well, that's me, eh? I realized that I'm a sinner, and I have all these things, eh? But now he comes into my life and he gives me the stuff that I've never tasted. It isn't me, it's his stuff. And so I sit at his table every day. And when I get up, you know, in the morning too, I pray to God and I say, God, you know who I am. And you know what I got? I got nothing. See? But I don't want to have the stuff I got. Because I noticed when I would give my wife, say, a piece of my mind in the morning of something I didn't like, and my old nature would say, oh, you know, I could never give it away without having it myself, eh? So I realized that principle in the Bible, you live in what you give. And so now I realize it's only what I give that I taste. And I would never, you know, I think a lot of times people don't realize that God is just trying to give you something because you have nothing. See? And every day he's willing to give you this stuff so that you can give it to people around you. Because when you give what you got, nobody wants seconds. And that's why we're all getting drunk and stoned and doing whatever we can because we can't live with what we've got. But what God's got is sure good stuff. Yeah, you know, when he went away, it was such a scary thing that I thought, well, you know, why are you gone? What have I done? And of course, I asked him and I said, tell me what it is. I'll change it. And nothing. So you struggle. But then sometimes when I was dealing and, you know, when I chose God, then I would feel that again, that he was around. Eh? And I was trying to put it together in my own mind. Why are you gone? Why don't you just stay with me? Eh? And then I realized because I have lived a very addictive life, I realized that the presence of God is very addictive. There's something so neat about being around him, the joy, the peace, the, I don't know, it's just something that fills you, eh? That you've looked for. And I realized that if he just stayed there, you'd be addicted to him. Like you would want to just stay right by him just because he's addicting. And he's made us free. And so as I stayed by him and realized this freedom that he gives, that he wants to make sure that you're choosing without coercion. You know, the coercion even of his presence, I'll tell you, is so strong that, you would just follow him. You would just be there. But he has to leave you free. So I really appreciate the difference between him and the devil, eh? Because the devil tries to get you hooked, so he got you. But God wants to free you. And he has to free you totally. And so he himself will not coerce you. So now, you know, I go to God's table and he gives me his stuff. And when I have my stuff, I don't want no part of it. And so it's been quite a little adventure as I've gone along. And as the years have gone by, it has been event after event. Everything is getting old hat for me because I'm getting old. But God, boy, oh boy, he surprises you all the time because he's so different and he cares about people and he does things in a way that you don't realize and he wants just to give it to you. See, and I realize that every day anyone can have that. Anyone can have it because it's something that God gives you, his stuff, and you go through the day with his wallet, as it were, eh? Rather than your own. So it's been quite a journey, actually, and quite an adventure.
Jesus didn't wait for Burkhart to clean himself up. He stepped into his life and he filled his heart with a love and a joy that he had never known. If you see yourself in Burkhart's story, running hard, chasing happiness, afraid to face what's really inside, that same Jesus is reaching out to you. He's not pointing at you to shame you. He's inviting you to trade your stuff, your guilt, your emptiness, yourself, for his stuff, his forgiveness, his peace, his joy, and his spirit. God promises you, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. That promise is for you today. You don't have to understand everything. If you sense the need of his Holy Spirit and his Holy Spirit speaking to your heart right now, don't push him away. Just say yes to Jesus, yes to his forgiveness, yes to his presence living in you day by day. He did it for Burkhart, and he promises to do it for you. If the Son makes you free, Jesus said, you shall be free indeed. And that freedom is in Jesus, and it's available to you right now.
Friend, God is not trying to restrict your life. He's trying to restore it. When you open the Bible with a desire to meet Jesus, he speaks, he yields, and he brings clarity where there has only been confusion. We'd like to help you take that next step by sending you a set of free Bible study guides. They're not just information. They reveal God's heart, his answers for your struggles, and his power to rebuild broken places. If you're ready to discover the life Jesus wants to give you, these guides are for you. Thank you to everyone who has supported It Is Written Canada through prayers and financial gifts. Also, if you have been inspired by Burkhardt's story, please share it with your friends and family. In order to keep this ministry on the air, we truly need your support. You can make a donation on our website. You can additionally follow us and share our content on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel and also listen to our podcasts. Friends, if you want the kind of joy and peace only Jesus can bring, we encourage you to open the Bible daily, where you will find that Jesus himself defeated the devil with these words. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to watch a video of this podcast, please visit iiw.ca, or you can go to our IIW Canada YouTube channel and click on the Videos tab. Once again, thank you so much for listening.